Earlier in the Gospels, Jesus asks a very serious, very important question. He asks, when the Son of Man returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? When we look at how things are going, we kind of wonder, is he going to find faith at all? There are some glimmers of hope here and there, but in general, we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing to keep the faith alive in our own hearts, our own families, in our society? Jesus also gives a great commission. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations. Tall order, but yet that's ours. Like the disciples, we too can worship the Lord, but we kind of doubt sometimes. Can I actually do this? On our own, we can't, and we know that. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, but with God, all things are possible. He promised to send us the Holy Spirit. And next week, as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, we keep that in mind, that everything needed to equip us to make the gospel a reality in our lives, to bring other people to the gospel, is given to us. It's there. And so we can pray with the Psalms, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. As the angel said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the skies? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you've seen him going into heaven. And what did they see? They saw the resurrected Lord. They saw Jesus in his splendor and his glory. They saw him raised up, as St. Luke tells us. After he had suffered, he appeared to them for about 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. But they saw him there, body and soul. Now keep in mind that prior to his incarnation, prior to Jesus' conception in the womb of Mary, he was pure spirit, the Word of God, as St. John calls him. He is the Word made flesh. But then notice how it's the flesh that goes up with the Spirit into heaven. What does that tell us? In our humanity, we know that we are weak, and we know that. But Christ assumes our human flesh. He who was without sin became sin for us to free us from our sinfulness and raise up you and me to a new dignity, to a new glory. Earth is raised up to heaven in Christ. Our hearts, our minds, our lives, everything about us should be lifted up as well. We are a new creation. We're the sons and daughters of God, not creatures of earth only anymore. In fact, St. Paul tells us that we're to seek that which is above. Yes, we have earthly concerns, we know that. But at the same time, we have to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. And the true Christian does that. The true Christian is one who is grounded, our feet are firmly set here on earth, we take care of our business here in this world, but at the same time, our desires are the fullness of desires fixed on Christ and eternal salvation. The true Christian is one whose hope and strength are, as the Psalm says, in the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our thoughts are always fixed on Christ as you and I seek to fulfill the Lord's will in our lives, whatever it is he calls us to. What the believer must avoid, and this is what gives Christianity and every other religion a bad name, is fanaticism. It's fanaticism. Where we begin to think that this world doesn't matter at all, and it does. That we think that we have everything figured out, because we don't. And that we don't really need God anymore, because we have everything that we think he wants to give us, and so we're fine on our own, we're not. Christ ascends into heaven for a purpose. He is hidden from sight, that we can believe in him. He sends us the Holy Spirit to be strengthened in him. But two things we have to avoid so that we don't become fanatics. I'm going to use the common terms. Navel-gazing and stargazing. Navel-gazing, stargazing. The navel-gazer does this. This is a person who worries only about their own self-interests. It's all about themselves. They worry about their problems all the time, fixed on their difficulties all the time. These are the people who whine, who complain, who fall into hopelessness and despair. The navel-gazers include the self-centered, the selfish, the greedy, the rebellious, the uncaring, and the uncharitable. Everything else is about them to the exclusion of God or anyone else. Then you've got the stargazer, who is fixed only on God and absolutely nothing else. The stargazer thinks that we have to do nothing, that God is going to do everything for me, and that I have no responsibilities whatsoever, and so I disregard the truth that I need both my faith and my Christian duties to really be saved. The two go together. After all, when Jesus does return, as Matthew 25 tells us, what's the criteria for our salvation? It's putting our faith into practice. As Jesus says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was ill and you visited me. In prison, you took care of me. And so on. We are to perform works of charity and goodness and show that we're putting our faith into practice. There are some who use religion as a shield to protect themselves from reality. There are some who use it as an escape to hide from the truth, to hide from trouble, to hide from sin, but we can't. You and I have to confront our own weaknesses and confront sin and confront the world every day of our lives. The Christian life is a battle in some respects, but it's not a battle that we fight alone. It is God who's working with us. Yes, we are called to have a childlike confidence in the Lord, but we cannot be childish. We know that God does work for us, but at the same time, He also works in us and He works through us. We cannot be navel-gazers or stargazers. Our feet, as I said, are planted firmly on the ground, and our desire is in heaven. Our faith and trust is in the greatness of God, who has called us to share in His divinity. He gives us that grace. He gives us that strength. With that, you and I have a great commission. That great commission to go out and to make disciples of all the nations, but by first becoming disciples ourselves. You've heard me say this before, and it's worth saying again, that oftentimes the reason why the people who are out there are not in here is because many of us who are in here don't act like we should when we're out there. We're not giving a sign of the gospel. We're not giving a sign of faith. We might look holy and pious when we're kneeling down in prayer in church, but then we act like pagans when we go on the outside. We can't do that. We have to act like Christians when we're outside, knowing that we receive the Lord's body and blood here to become His body in the world, to bring His peace, His grace, His salvation, His love, His kindness, His mercy. Everything that we see in Christ should be in ourselves, including self-control. But that's the commission we have. To make disciples of all the nations, to invite them to come, and they can see that we possess something that the world does not offer. That's grace. It's Christ. It's to pray with and for your spouse, to be a beacon of light to him or to her, to your children, to your grandchildren, your family members, friends, not to be a fanatic and beat them over the head with a crucifix or a rosary saying you got to come to church, but give them a reason why. I've actually heard somebody say that to a grandparent who kept telling the child, you need to go to church, and the grandchild said, why? You go, it didn't do you any good. It's a scary thought. It should be doing something. Christian missionaries have always done that. When we go places, we don't go and try to evangelize the gospel first, that comes later. But you establish a school, you establish a hospital, you feed, you clothe, you assist, and people ask, why do you do this? We tell them, it's because Christ wants this. Christ asks us to do this, and we are His servants, and we come to do that. Then they want to tell me about this Christ. And that's how we have people come to the fold. Not by words only, but by actions that give those words substance. We pray for, we encourage, we give example. Others may come to Christ. And this, my brothers and sisters, Jesus wants us to pass on our Christian faith. To pass on our Christian heritage to our children and grandchildren by seeing them raised in the faith. By having them learn the faith at home. Not just waiting till school or catechism, but teaching the faith at home by word and example. Seeing to it that they receive the sacraments of baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. That they go to communion and to confession. That they're married in the church and receive all the sacraments which enable us to have that strength to continue living the Christian life. Again, to go back to that question that Jesus asks, when the Son of Man returns, as he promised he will, is he going to find faith on the earth? He will, if you and I would fix our eyes, make our faith solid, find our courage in the Lord, that you and I become faithful disciples ourselves, and by our word and by our example, make disciples of all the nations. As Jesus says in the conclusion of Revelation, remember, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.